The brokenness of the world came into sharp focus for me and my family this past month. 1 year ago, my family got to experience paradise. Actually, 1 year ago, we got to experience paradise. We got the great privilege of being able to travel as a family to Maui, Hawaii. We stayed right outside the city of Kahului. It was absolutely beautiful. We walked the streets of that historic oceanfront town. We sat under that historic banyan tree. Hayden surfed the waves, feet from that banyan tree. We ate tacos one night on Front Street. And we enjoyed the sweet relationships of our family as Izzy had just graduated from high school. And 1 year later, as you know, wildfires burnt all of that to the ground. Our family and I have been especially heartbroken as we saw those images on TV. We know many of the sweet hotel staff that we got to know lived in that town. And if some of them weren't killed, certainly all of them had their lives absolutely devastated. Why is the world so broken? How could something go from being paradise to being devastated and broken? This morning, I want to do my best to share the answer to that heartbreaking question. This week, we're going to look at a place we all know too well, a place we're calling brokenness. We live in a broken world. You don't have to look far to realize it. In the United States today, 40% of children live in single-parent homes. 500,000 children have been removed from their homes due to abuse and neglect and placed in foster care. An estimated 20 million people are ensnared in some kind of addiction. Police report over 3,000 violent crimes a day. We are a Humpty Dumpty world. We've fallen, we're broken, and we can't figure out how to put all the pieces back together again. And it's not for a lack of trying. We all recognize what's wrong in our world today. We all have a sense of our brokenness, and we try our best to fix it. We attempt to provide health care for every individual. We study prison recidivism rates and implement behavior modification programs to reduce them. Government is just one big organization trying to deal with the world's brokenness. Think about it. If our world was not broken, there wouldn't be a need for government. There are all kinds of people throughout history trying to do all kinds of things to put our world back together again. Fortunately for us, God has given us a solution. We know that God has a design for each of our lives. We talked about that last week. But the Bible tells us that we choose to depart from that design. And we see that all the way back in Genesis 3, verses 1 through 7. Now the serpent was more crafty than any other beast of the field that the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, "Did God actually say, 'You shall not eat of any tree in the garden?'" And the woman said to the serpent, "We may eat of the fruit of the tree in the garden. But God said, 'You shall not eat of the fruit of the tree that is in the midst of the garden, neither shall you touch it, lest you die.' But the serpent said to the woman, 'You will not surely die. For God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil.' So the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that was a delight to the eyes, and the tree was to be desired to make one wise. She took of its fruit and ate. She also gave some to her husband, who was with her, and he ate. And the eyes of both of them were opened, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made for themselves loincloths." Here we see we choose to depart from God's design. Adam and Eve thought they knew better than God. It wasn't the fruit that was the issue. Some people argue, was it an apple? Was it something else? Maybe it was a passion fruit. The issue wasn't the fruit. The issue was Adam and Eve wanted to be God or Lord of their own life. They chose their way instead of God's way. And the Bible's word for departing from God's design and going our own way is sin. And we all do it. Romans 3:23 says, "For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God." Every single one of you in this room, Every person that's ever lived besides the Son of God at one point or another has pushed God off the throne seat in our lives and have placed ourselves there. We may not have taken a bite of a piece of fruit, but we have said, "You know, God, I know it's wrong to lie, but I'm going to lie anyway. I know better. You know, God, I know that you say that sex is between a man and a woman who is married, but I think I know better. I'm going to have sex with somebody who's not my wife. You know, I know, God, you say that we're to obey and respect our parents, but I know better. It's better for me to disobey in this situation. You know, I know that God alone is to be given my devotion all over all others, but I'm going to reject that, and I'm going to put other things before Him, my job, my hobbies, my money, my relationships." We all have taken a piece of that fruit and decided for ourselves, "I'm going to be God of my life, not Yahweh." And that is what we call sin. But now we see the devastating effects of that sin. Verses 8 through 24. "And they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees in the garden. But the Lord God called to the man and said to him, 'Where are you?' And he said, 'I heard the sound of you in the garden, and I was afraid, because I was naked, and I hid myself.' God said, 'Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten of the tree which I commanded you not to eat?' And the man said, 'The woman whom you gave to be with me, she gave me the fruit of the tree, and I ate.' The Lord God said to the woman, 'What is this that you've done?' And the woman said, 'The serpent deceived me, and I ate.' The Lord God said to the serpent, 'Because you've done this, cursed are you above all livestock and above all beasts of the field. On your belly you shall go, and dust you shall eat all the days of your life. I'll put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and her offspring. You shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel.' To the woman he said, 'I will surely multiply your pain in childbearing. In pain you shall bring forth children. You shall desire to be contrary to your husband, for he shall rule over you.' And to Adam he said, 'Because you've listened to the voice of your wife and have eaten of the tree of which I commanded you, you shall not eat of it. Cursed is the ground because of you. In pain you shall eat of it all the days of your life. Thorns and thistles it shall bring forth for you, and you shall eat the plants of the field. By the sweat of your face you shall eat bread till you return to the ground, for out of it you were taken. For you are dust, and dust you shall return.' The man called his wife's name Eve, because she was the mother of all living. And the Lord God made for Adam and his wife garments of skin and clothed them. Then the Lord God said, 'Behold, the man has become like one of us, knowing good and evil, lest now he reach out his hand and take also the tree of the life and eat it and live forever.' Therefore the Lord God sent him out of the Garden of Eden to work the ground from which he was taken. He drove out the man. At the east of the Garden of Eden he placed the cherubim and a flaming sword that turned every way to guard the way of the tree of life." When we depart from God's design, it always leads to brokenness. And we know when our communion with God is broken, what does it feel like? It feels like fear and shame and guilt and loneliness. Look at how all these areas affect our life. Look how brokenness affects every aspect of our life. Verse 8 tells us that brokenness causes us to hide from God. After they ate of the fruit, God comes looking for Adam and Eve. He knows what they've done, but he comes looking anyway. And they both hide from God. Adam's response is heartbreaking. It's probably one of the saddest verses in all of Scripture. He says, "I was afraid because he was naked. He was ashamed. I'm hiding from you, God." The night before, they had walked in the garden unafraid, unashamed, naked, and not even caring. They were in the presence of God. They were walking with Him. God was sharing His creation with them. Nothing was between them. And now Adam and Eve are hiding, afraid, and ashamed. The first time the phrase, "I am afraid," or even the word "afraid" is used in Scripture is in Genesis 3:8. Verses 14 through 15 tells us that brokenness disrupts our spiritual life. God says he'll put enmity between you and the woman, between your offspring and her offspring. We all know we're creeped out by snakes. You see it in the grass, you see it in your yard, it freaks you out, women especially. But this is not just a statement about getting the creeps whenever we see a snake. God is proclaiming we will always struggle against the enemy. We have an enemy, and Satan is our enemy, and he looks for opportunities to kill and destroy, to devour us and our lives, just as it says in the New Testament. We have no doubt he'll use whatever he can to destroy our lives. He'll use alcohol, he'll use drugs, he'll use pornography, he'll use sex, he'll use our greed, our discontentment in our marriages, he'll use power, gossip, and even our own selfishness. He'll use whatever he can to destroy our lives. But all that's temporary. What he really seeks to do is to use those things to separate us from God spiritually. He wants us to separate us from God for eternity. And if he can separate us from God for eternity through the choices we come to today, he wins. Verse 16 tells us that brokenness disrupts our family life. God ordained the pain in which women bring children into the world. And this would be an example of the pain they experience more genuinely in life. It's been observed that women bring forth children with more pain than any other creature on the earth. But this is not just a statement about the birth of a child. It has the idea that women will experience pain in regard to their children in general as they raise their children. Their children will rebel. Their children will be disobedient. Their children will reject them sometimes and dishonor them at times. If you're a parent, you know that it is sometimes terribly painful to be a parent as your children grow into adulthood. Verse 16 also tells us that brokenness disrupts our marriage, our married life. This speaks of the inherent challenge to embrace the husband's role as leader of the home and family. Same word here, desire, is used in Genesis 4:7 of the desire of sin to master over Cain. Because of the curse, Eve will have to fight a desire to master her husband, a desire to put her will above the will of her husband, a desire that works against God's ordained order of the home. The principle of Adam's headship as husband is established before the fall, and now the curse on Eve makes it harder for her to submit and flow with God's institution of male headship in the home. But it's not just women who make marriage difficult. As a result of the fall, man no longer rules easily. Sin has corrupted the loving headship of the husband. He will be selfish. He will be domineering. He'll be self-seeking. He'll be selfish. So the rule of love founded in paradise is replaced by struggle, tyranny, domination, and selfishness. It doesn't matter who you are or how much you love your spouse or your fiancé. You need to know this. Marriage is hard. Our spouses fail us and come up short, and we will fail our spouses. And it is all rooted in our sin. Verses 17 through 19 tells us that brokenness disrupts our work life. The land in which we must now toil is now cursed. Man will have to work for his food. He'll have to sweat and labor to benefit from the land. Where it was given freely, they took it for granted. And now they'll have to work and get what was freely given before. And it's not just a matter of difficult farming. The whole earth is cursed by our sin. This is why we see hurricanes and wildfires and tsunamis and tornadoes and earthquakes. Now, you might think that's a little extreme because of man's sin, that the world itself is in upheaval. But we must remember that the whole world itself was a gift from our Heavenly Father, so we might be in relationship with Him. And when the relationship is broken by sin, the gift is broken as well. So the next time you tune on the TV and see yet another natural disaster, or you have a hard day at work and everything's a struggle, may it be a reminder of the effects of sin on the world and on you. The second part, verse 19, tells us that brokenness disrupts our physical life. The final curse upon man is promised that the end of the toil and labor on the earth will be death and not deliverance. The ultimate consequences of sin is death. Romans 6:23 says, "For the wages of sin is death." Verse 22 shows us that brokenness makes us live with the effects of evil. God said, Adam and Eve now know good and evil, meaning they know the effects of good. They have enjoyed the effects and consequences of good as they enjoyed the Garden of Eden, and they enjoyed an unbroken relationship with their Father. But now they know evil. They know the consequences of evil, and they would have to live with those consequences. Just as a parent doesn't want their child to experience the consequences of bad choices, parents say things like, "Don't go there. Don't do that. Take my word for it. I know it only ends bad. This is a lesson too hard for you to learn on your own. Listen to my word. This is something you don't need to experience." Unfortunately, many of our teens make wrong decisions and don't listen to their parents and good counsel and end up having to live with the consequences of their mistakes. Yes, they learned from their experiences, but they didn't have to learn the hard way. They couldn't have been obedient and trusted that their parents know what's best. When we sin, we experience the consequences of that sin in sometimes devastating fashion. We experience and we know evil that we never had to know about in the first place. Verse 23 through 24 shows us that brokenness makes us lose the Eden that God intended for us. Adam and Eve are kicked out of the Garden of Eden. The Garden of Eden is a symbol. Your sin has separated you from the one who longed to give you everything you needed. You were created to tend the garden, but your sin has made you ineffective at doing so. So the effects of our brokenness are devastating. But there's good news for those in our brokenness, because finally, we see that brokenness helps us see our need for change. Back in verse 7, we realize that for Adam and Eve, they realized their brokenness showed them that their need for a change. When we're broken, we realize we need help. We realize we can't fix it on our own. We try to cover our own sin, just like Adam and Eve did as they tried to fashion together the first pairs of underwear using fig leaves. And it doesn't work very well. Fig leaves have something of a prickly quality, which would make for some pretty itchy coverings. Insufficient, to say the least. Every attempt to cover our own nakedness before God is just as foolish as trying to make underwear out of fig leaves. We do what we can to fix our own brokenness, relationships, drugs, alcohol, work, sex, striving to be a better me, but it doesn't work. Why? Because it's all broken as well. It all falls short. It is all broken itself. It's like we're trying to cover ourselves with fig leaves. It's a futile effort. Now, this would be a terrible place to be left. If God left us in our brokenness, it would be a terrible place to be. But I have good news. Good news for everybody. God has made a way out of our brokenness. And that's the third circle of the three circles, the gospel. The change we really need comes from Jesus. God sent Jesus to live a perfect life, to die a death that we deserve and be raised to life again, proving He was who He said He was and that He could do what He says He could do. Jesus came to forgive our sins, and when we repent and believe in Him, Romans 10:9 says, if we confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in our heart that God raised Him from the dead, we will be saved. And what does He do? He gives us His Spirit, who helps us to recover and pursue God's design. Then Jesus sends us right back out into the broken world to tell others how to find their way out of brokenness. And so the question is presented to each and every one of us. Will we choose to take God's way out of brokenness? And if we've already done that, will we choose to help others to find their way out of brokenness? Environmentalists say that banyan tree is going to survive those wildfires. Nothing, hardly anything else survived, but the tree survived. My friends, God has provided a tree of life for us as well. God is going to restore a new heaven and a new earth, and we will have the opportunity to enjoy the garden of paradise again. Enjoy unbroken fellowship with God. It's waiting for us. God will restore us in our world if we'll give our lives to the one who came to rescue us. And that is a circle we'll look at next week. The one who died on a tree for us.